I want to share something with you about, you know, I've shared several times about why people don't find a desire sometime to read their Bible, to study the Word. They find it boring, and sometimes when they sit down to read, all kinds of other things come into their mind and distract them, and so they get up and go in one direction or another, but they're just really not able to be diligent about studying. And I've told you it's because people get addicted to excitement. They're doing things that is stirring up the old man, the flesh, to the extent that they can't sit patiently and quietly and meditate on the Lord and meditate on His Word. And it's because they're doing things that the Bible commands not to. And let me just point out a couple of things to you. First, I'm going to read this little article to you, which I think is very good. It's not from a Christian perspective, but it's about excitement, how people get addicted to excitement, and they're not able to be happy doing quiet, simple things. And the name of the article is "Excitement Deprives Children of Happiness." It's by a man named Dennis Prager. Now, again, it's not from a Christian standpoint necessarily, but there's a lot of wisdom in it. So listen to it, and I'll share a few verses with you, okay? If you want your children to be happy adults and even happy children, and what parent does not, then minimize the excitement in their lives. The more excitement, the less happy they are likely to be. I want to say that this is not just children, folks. This is parents, too. What he's saying here is absolutely true. You're not able to do the things that the Lord commands you to do when your flesh is all stirred up with emotional excitement. He goes on to say, in both adults and children, one can either pursue excitement or pursue happiness, but one cannot do both. If you pursue excitement, you will not attain to happiness. If you pursue happiness, you will still experience some moments of excitement, but you will attain happiness only if happiness, not excitement, is your goal. When we give our child a present, he experiences excitement, and we are delighted when we see how happy he is. When done occasionally, this is perfectly fine and even beneficial. Children should have those special moments and remember forever these wonderful times. But because we parents so delight in the excitement we see in our children at those moments, because they seem so happy then, we can easily fall into the trap of providing more and more exciting things to keep them seemingly happy at just about every moment. And they, in turn, come to rely on getting excited to keep them happy and to identify excitement with happiness. But excitement is not happiness. In fact, it is the ultimate drug. It is excitement that people seek when engaging in any destructive, addictive behaviors. Excitement is a major part of what people seek in doing drugs, in having sex with multiple partners, in gambling from slot machines to risky stock purchases, or in having an extramarital affair. And even for many criminals, excitement is a major lure of criminal behavior. It is argued that we are programmed to desire excitement, but we're also programmed to be lazy, to be irresponsible, to eat unhealthy foods. And just as these other natural instincts do not lead us to happiness, neither does excitement. Today's young people have the ability to experience excitement more than any generation in history. Outside of schools, excitement is available almost 24/7. MTV is exciting. MTV has done far more damage to this generation than has the tobacco industry, for instance. Video games are exciting, and nearly all pervasive sexual stimuli are exciting. MySpace, largely a human cesspool, is exciting. Getting tattooed is exciting. Piercing are exciting. Many pictures and videos on the internet are exciting. The list of exciting things many children experience is as long as there are hours in the day. But all this excitement is actually inhibiting our children's ability to enjoy life and therefore be happy. All this excitement renders young people jaded, not happy. To cite a simple example, many children today would refuse to watch a black and white film. It's boring, they say. They would even refuse to watch many of the greatest color films if they lacked the amount of excitement, usually meaning violence, but also frequently meaning foul language and sexual content, that they now are so used to seeing in films. Plot development is boring. Blowing up people and buildings is exciting. That's why the frequent complaint of "I'm bored" is often a sign of a jaded child. In other words, a child addicted to excitement and therefore incapable of enjoying life when not being excited. All this excitement in their lives bodes poorly for the future happiness of millions of American children, and I might add adults. Real life, let alone daily life, will seem so boring to them that they will not be able to enjoy it. And more than a few of them will opt for lives of constant excitement, often in ways destructive to themselves and others. The solutions are as simple to offer as they may be difficult to enforce. Limit the amount of excitement in your children's lives. The amount of video games, the amount of non-serious television, the amount of music whose only aim is to excite. If they are bored, they will have to remedy that boredom by playing with friends, finding a hobby, talking to a family member, walking the dog, doing chores, reading a book or magazine, learning a musical instrument or foreign language, memorizing state capitals, writing a story or just their thoughts, exercising or playing a sport or just thinking, or I might add, reading your Bible, studying the Word, seeking God, seeking to serve people, so on and so forth. Though people don't have time for it, they're too busy exciting themselves. And everything else is boring, right? Well, he goes on. He said, the younger the age from which children are deprived of superficial excitement, the longer they will remain innocent. In other words, not jaded. And capable of real happiness. For as long as they live under your roof, and therefore hopefully under your control, you can implement excitement detox. And if you do, they will hate you now, but they will thank you later, which is far superior to liking you now and hating you later. And in parenting, that is often the choice we must make. That's true. Well, you know, a lot of people today are so addicted to excitement that they find it very boring to sit down and study God's Word or serve other people or they're just too busy feeding their flesh. You know, the more you feed your flesh, the stronger it gets. And the more you deny it, the more it quietens down. And excitement is a very strong drug, addicting drug. And many of you grown-ups out there, you love to watch a lot of exciting TV, you know, and you know how that'll draw you away from the Bible, draw you away from the Word, draw you away from serving God and serving other people. You know it will. You've experienced it. And you also know that when you go and sit down and try to be quiet and study the Word and seek God's will for your life, that all these exciting things pop into your mind, all the things that you need to do, and your flesh is just stirred up, you know. You can't be quiet and patient, you know. You know, the Bible says in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 22, it says, "The lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light." And of course, single here, he's talking about stayed on the Lord, right? Stayed on righteousness, stayed on seeking the kingdom, you know. And let me say that most exciting TV programs are anything but a single eye. They are teaching you to worship and admire people that have the principles of the world in every case. And, you know, people who don't believe in turning the other cheek and loving their enemy and doing good to their neighbors. People that defend, they may be public servants who defend the nation, but of course the TV programs are designed to make these people heroes, and therefore what they do is can't be bad, right? Well, wrong, because all of their things that they do teach are evil, contrary to God's word, etc., etc. There are no heroes on TV, folks, that do all these great and exciting things that are godly. And that's far more detrimental to your kids than it is to you. But even you, if you sit and watch all this excitement, it's very hard for you to calm your flesh down later. So when he says that the lamp of the body is the eye, and if therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light, he goes on to say, but if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. You know, it has a lot to do with what you put in front of your face. And I remember what David said in Psalm 101 in verse 3. He says, "I will set no base thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave unto me." Well, you know, David had some problems, but one of them he didn't have was TV, you know, and all the excitement that we have today that people do get addicted with. But I'll guarantee you, if he would have sat and watched just 2 minutes of TV, he would have turned away from that demon right there. He wouldn't have set that thing in front of his face. It's exactly like he said in Psalm 101 in verse 3. You know, let me read that to you again. "I will set no base thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside." If you don't see people turning aside in front of your eyes when you spend much time in front of that tube, well then, I tell you, you're not looking at the Word, too, because the Word is very plain. I like also what the Lord said in Deuteronomy chapter 11 in verse 18. Listen to this. "Therefore shall you lay up these my words in your heart and in your soul, and you shall bind them for a sign upon your hand, and they shall be for frontlets between your eyes." Now think about that. They called them phylacteries. And they put the scriptures in these little boxes and they would hang them from their forehead and right between their eyes. Now just imagine this. Here's the Word. And you're looking straight in front of you. But if you look to the right and you look to the left, guess what you're going to see? You're going to see the Word. And what's it going to do? It's going to restrain your vision, isn't it? Think about it. Just think about it for a minute. You got this little box hanging right there between your eyes, you see. So your eyes got to be single, right? You got to look straight ahead, or the only thing you're going to see is the Word restraining your sight. You won't be able to see anything but the Word, you see. So it's like a blinder, isn't it? Between your eyes, for frontlets between your eyes. So what's the what's the parable there? It's obvious. The Lord is saying, let the Word constrain your sight, constrain what you spend time watching, you know. And that's very clear. And, of course, it's on your forehead, so it's talking about the renewed mind of Christ, right? And Exodus 13 and 16, which is basically the opposite of Revelation 13 and 16, which talks about the number of the beast in the forehead, and the name of the beast, nature, character, and authority of the beast in the forehead. And then in Exodus 13 and 16 and Deuteronomy 11 and 18, which we just read, are talking about binding the word on your forehead. All right? The renewed mind of Christ. The renewed mind of Christ, of course, will not let you look to the right or look to the left. Right? As God told Joshua, don't turn to the right, don't turn to the left, and you'll have good success in taking the land, right? And we know that the land is talking about this land that we walk in here, right? We will control this body, which loves to be out of control, right? So be careful of that excitement thing. I hope some of you are convicted to turn away from that because it's garbage. And you know it is. You stop and think about what they're teaching you. And you're so engrossed in it that your eye is not single, and guess what? It's going inside, and a little leaven leavens the whole lump. And so what is happening? Well, the lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is the darkness? No man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. And, of course, mammon is a word that means treasure. Other things more valuable than God, right? So anyway, I hope you take my little exhortation there.